Tonight's shiur in Parshas Vayeshev. Sedra begins, Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv Beretz Kanaan. The Midrash Rabbah says the following, brings the Pasuk in Iyov. Iyov says, Lo shalavti, lo shakatati, velo nachti ve'avo roges. I wasn't secure, I wasn't quiet, I wasn't rested, ve'avo roges, and the anger, the torment came. What is referring to? Says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Lo shalavti, I wasn't secure. This refers to me, Lavan. I had to go through the tzaras with Lavan. Lo shakatati, that refers to me, Esav. Lo nachti, I wasn't able to rest. That's the tzaras of Dina. And vayavo roges, that's Yosef. Those are the four tzaras that Yaakov had to go through in his life. Says the Chida, these four things are merumaz in the first word of the Sedra, Vayeshev. Wow, if you take the second letter of the names of these four people, it spells out Vayeshev. Yosef, Yud Vav, second letter is Vav, Yud Vav Samach Fefe. Dina is Dalet Yud, there's the Yud. Esav is Ayin Sin, there's a Sin, and Lamed Beis Nun, Lavan, the second letter is Beis. That spells out Vav Yud Shin Beis, that's Vayeshev. I know what you're all would like to ask, and that is, well, why the second letter? Wouldn't it be better? What kind of a remez is that? Should be the first letter of each name or something. Of course, it wouldn't spell Vayesha, but why the remez in the second letter? So the Chida says like this, bring the Midrash Talpios, says that these tzaras that Yaakov went through with all these people, what was the purpose of them? The purpose was that he shouldn't be miskaya, shouldn't boast, shouldn't want to like lord over, feel a feeling of gaiva over Esav. That's what the Midrash says. In other words, if he would have been at peace completely, then he would have felt like he's a boss and, you know, want to feel gaivadik and over his brother Esav, and Hashem doesn't like gaiva. Tovas Hashem kol gvalev, says the pasuk. Hashem doesn't like a bal gaiva, and therefore that he shouldn't be a bal gaiva. Hashem brought these four things on him. Memele, we can understand the following. Therefore, in what schus was Yaakov Yeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv? How in what schus was he able to sit tranquil without fearing Esav? It was because of Yeshev. Because he went through these four tzaras. Because of that, he wasn't lording over Esav. And that's chus. He was able to have peace from Esav. And now we can understand why is the second letter. Because why? The second letter is that Yaakov's chus that he wasn't bal gaiva. He was not number one. He didn't put himself in number one. Second place. Not a bal gaiva. Mele, the rem is here, is dafkin the second letter. So Yosef brought his evil report, so to speak, to their father. So Rashi says, what was this evil report? He told his father things that his brothers were doing, namely, they were eating Aver Minachai, and they were Mezalzalim and the Bnei Shvachos, and the sons of Bil and Zilpah. And they were chashudim al arayas, involved in arayas. And Yosef saw this and he told his father about it. So the Shla HaKadosh asked the obvious question. What's pshat? Manashach. If the brothers were really doing these things, how's it shayach? How could the brothers be eating every menachai and bezalchili and the shvachos and chashudim al arayas? How could it be? Elamai, you're going to say, no, they probably didn't do any of these things. Well, they did it, so how could Yosef be Motzi Shemra and say their brothers did anything who never did them? So, Manasha. So, different answers to this question. He wants to say the following. And Avram wrote the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is a book of Kabbalah that, using the Shemus of Hashem, you can do all kinds of interesting things. And this, as we'll see in a minute, and this Sefer was handed down from Avram to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, and Yaakov to his sons. And this Sefer was only for the Miuchasim. You had to have Yichus in order to get a hand on the Sefer. Memele says like this. through the Sefer Yetzirah that the brothers had, B'nai Leah at least, they made, using the Shemus of Hashem, they made an animal, right? Using Hashem's name. But wasn't a real animal. It was an animal, like a golem, right? It was an animal that was created through the Sefer Yetzirah. B'mele, since it wasn't a real animal, they were able to eat. They were minachai, because it wasn't really every minachai. Every minachai is only yasser and a real animal, but this wasn't a real animal, so they were able to eat every minachai. It wasn't every minachai. B'mele, Yosef saw the meat to take off this limb and eat it, so they said, oh, eating every minachai. Yeah, it sure looked like that, because it was an animal. They took in limb and they started eating from it. So he went and told his father. But Lamaisa, they weren't doing really anything wrong, because the animal created was safe for Yetzirah. Fine, Vaitu. So the brother was saying, wow, this is going really good over here. So they took it to the next step, and they created with the safe for Yetzirah a woman. And they were walking around with her, this and that, whatever. So what does Yosef see? Walking around with this strange woman? Chashudi Malarayas. Not Chashudi Malarayas, not a person. It's a golem. It's not a real woman. So Mela, they're not over in any Arias over here. But Yosef didn't notice because he thought it looked like a woman, and therefore he can't blame him for telling the father. And finally, what did he see? He saw how the B'nai Shvachos, they saw how the B'nai Leah were using a sefer, creating all these interesting things, animals, women, whatever. So he said, hey, we want to get our hands on the sefer. Can we have the sefer? So what did they say? No, this is only for Miyuchasim. You have to have Yichus. Only the sons of Leah can have the sefer. You can't. They said, come on, we want a sefer. No, boom. So Yosef saw, wow, how are they treating these B'nai Shvachos? You know, it's not nice. So there it said, yeah, they were treating it like they were not allowed to get their hands on the sefer. And that explains it. It's interesting, the whole it's a real shilas in halacha came out with the Sefer Yetzirah, and the shilas in Shuvas Chacham Tzvi, he mamish brings the shila to a person created from the Sefer Yetzirah. Are you allowed to mitzaref him for a minion, right? Are you chayv if you kill him al for tzicha? And there's even a shila: can you create a person like this on Shabbos? Using the Shemus of Hashem, it's a mutter to do so on Shabbos. And there's a sefer Geza Yishai, he paskin, he brought to Shail, he paskin, it's Asr. But you see, it's a real thing. Okay. We move on. So, Yosef is sent by his father to check out his brother. It's fine, he gets there. And the brothers say to each other, oh, here comes the Baal HaChalomos. And they say the following: "Vata lechuva nargeu. Let's go and kill him. V'nashicheu bechadaboros, and we'll throw him into one of the pits. V'amarnu, and we'll say chayarach alasu, wild animal ate him up. V'nireh mayum chalomosav, and we'll see what's going to be with his dreams." The pasuk, next pasuk: "Vayishma Ruvain, and he heard. V'yatsileu miyadam, and he saved them from their hand. V'yomer lo nekenu nefesh, let's not kill him, etc., etc." Okay. So it's an interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says on the words "v'nireh mayu chalmosav," right after the brother said, "Let's kill him and throw him in a pit," and then it says in the pasuk again, "We'll see what's going to be with his dreams." Says Rashi, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikrizeh omer darsheni." So this is a very difficult pasuk to understand. It doesn't make sense. Why? So pashtus, because what are they saying? They said, "Let's kill Yosef and we'll throw him into a pit." And v'nireh, we're going to see what's going to be with his dreams. What do you mean, what's going to be with his dreams? If you kill him and throw him in a pit, you know what's going to be with his dreams. Right? His dreams was that they're going to bow down to whatever. If you kill him and throw him in a pit, you don't have to say, and let's see what's going to be with his dreams. They know what's going to be with his dreams. Right? Unless, of course, you want to say the Torah is talking sarcastically, which is, Rashi, we're going to see, doesn't learn that way. Like, yeah, and let's see what's going to be with his dreams. yeah, the dreams. Yeah. But Torah doesn't talk like that. It talks as it is. So they said, let's kill him, and then we're going to see what's going to be with his dreams. But that can't be, because you don't have to see. If you're going to kill him, you know what's going to be. The dreams are finished. So that's why this mikra needs to be darshan. So says Rashi, what's the pshad? Brings Rabbi Yitzchak. Ruach HaKodesh Omer is Cain. Therefore, this is not the brothers talking. It's not the brothers, not their lashon. Let's kill him and see what they're going to be with the dreams. No, this is Ruach HaKodesh talking. Meaning, hey, Mumri v'nargeu. They said, let's kill him. And then the pasuk continues, says Rashi, and says, "V'nireh mayu mechalosav, nireh divrei mi yakum, o shalachem o shali." Ruach HaKodesh is talking and saying, oh yeah, brothers, you think you're going to kill them? Oh, we'll see, going to see. What's going to, what you going to do is there, or are we going to take care of things and he's not going to be killed and the dreams will come true? Let's see. This is Ruach HaKodesh talking, not them. It can't be that they're saying, like we said. Can't be them talking. Can't be, let's kill them and see what's going to be with the dreams. And that doesn't make sense. We know. So that's what Ansar Rashi learned. So it's an interesting idea from the Panim Yafas. He connects this very nicely to a Gemara in Tainus on Daf Kaf Aleph. The Gemara there relates that Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, they were learning together and got to a point where they didn't have money. And they said to each other, you know, we got to go out to work. We can't be poor like this. So they decided to go to work. They left the Beis Midrash, they're going on the road, and they sat down next to this wall to eat their lunch. So they're sitting there eating their lunch, and this wall was like a weak wall, it wasn't very sturdy. And these two malachim, these two angels, were talking. One says to the other, huh, let's kill these guys. I said, why? He says, look at this. They left the Beis Midrash, Chayolam, you know, learning to go for Chayisha, to go to work. They deserve to be killed. Let's kill them right now. So the other angel said to him, nah, I don't think it's a good idea. He says, why? He says, because one of these guys is going to get up a big Rosh Hashiva one day. And therefore, we shouldn't kill them. That's the end of the discussion. So Rabbi Yochanan heard this. He heard the angels talking. He heard the one say the other, you know, he heard this. So he turned to Ilfa and he says, Ilfa, did you hear what I heard? Ilfa says, I didn't hear anything. He says, you didn't hear anything? No, what? What did you? So Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, I heard and he didn't hear? That's a sign that I'm the one who's going to be the big Rosh Hashiva. So he said, that's it. I'm not going any further. I'm going back to the Beis Midrash. He returned back to Beis Midrash. The Gemara continues that Ilfa did in fact go out to business. He became a very wealthy man. He did great in his business. And, not no gay here, but just to finish the Gemara. And afterwards, Ilfa came back and he saw that Rabbi Yochanan, sure enough, was a big Rosh Hashiva. So, people saying, yeah, you see what happens? So Ilfa said, oh yeah? You think I'm a nothing? You think I was working all day, I never learned anything? He said, I'll tell you what. He climbs up the top of the ship, on the mast of the ship, and he says, anybody can ask me, bring me down any brisa, and I'll find a source for a mishnah from it. And if I don't, am I able to do it? I'll throw myself in the water, drown myself. And then the Gemara asked, this one asked this, and he was able to answer everything. So, okay. Now, back to the Indian at hand. So says the Panim Yafa is very nice. He compares what's going on over here in this Rashi to the story with Ilfa and Rabbi Yochanan. How so? So same thing happened over here. The brother said, let's kill him, right? L'chuva na'algin argeyu, throw him in the pit, etc. Then what happened? V'nireh ma'yu chalum asam. What was this, says Rashi? Ruach HaKodesh was talking. Right, Ruach HaKodesh talking says, hey, let's see they want to kill him, let's see. What happened? Vayishma Ruvain says the next pasuk. Ruvain heard this, and he says, did you hear anything? Guys, did you hear anything? I heard something, did you hear? They said, we didn't hear anything. What is your, same thing with Ilfa Royochan. They said, we didn't hear anything. The Ruach HaKodesh was talking, they didn't hear. Vayishma Ruvain, he heard. Ruvain said, if I heard this, and my brothers didn't hear this, meant that I'm supposed to do something. And the pasuk continues, Yatsi Leidu Miyadam. So then Ruvain said, I'm going to save Yosef, because I heard and they didn't. Says the Yakud Ergishuni, since this Sedra, I guess, is very usually very close to Hanukkah. So he says a little Hanukkah vort based on this also. Right? The famous midrash of people like the Darshan and Hanukkah, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach, Valpsachenu Kol Megadim. Says the midrash, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach, Ze Ruvain Shehitzil et Yosef. This refers to Ruvain that saved Yosef, and Valpsachenu Kol Megadim, that's near Hanukkah. So everybody asks, what's the connection between Ruvain saving Yosef and near Hanukkah? 101 answers to this question. Says the Yahu Gershuni, based on what we said, and it's very nice. Ner Chanukah, how do we light Neres Chanukah? Do we light 876543 or 12345. We do 1, 2, 3, 4. Why do we do it that way? Because this is the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and who do we hold like Beis Hillel? Therefore, we add every day like Beis Hillel. Why are we holding like Beis Hillel? Why do we hold like Beis Shammai? So you'll tell me, well, because we the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why is the halacha like Beis Hillel? The Gemara says because the bas kol came out from Shemayim and said the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Well, how do you know you're supposed to listen to a bas kol? Where do you see you're supposed to listen to a bas kol? Reuven. Reuven heard, v'nireh mayu v'chalom osav, and because of that, he said, hey, I heard it, they did it, he went enough saving Yosef. So from here we see, mashkichim ala basko. Mela, that's the connection between Neres Chanukah and Yosef, so he sells Yosef. Weiter. Pasuk says, Yosef was in a pit, and the brothers wanted to sell them, and along came the potential buyers, and these Arabs, Gmalehem, Nosim, Nechot, Tzri, Velot. And they were carrying these nice perfumes, spices, balsam, lotus. So Rashi says, why does the Torah deem it necessary over here to tell us what they were carrying? Who cares what they were carrying? Says Rashi, Lodia, Matan Scharan Shel Tzadikim. How so? She'ein Darkan Shel Arvim, Laseit, Ela Neft, Ve'itra. Because normally Arabs in those days didn't carry spices. They carried these kerosene and rosin and these things that are very, very bad smelling things. But here, Hashem did a miracle, and who came to take Yosef? Nizdamenu Bisamim. These people that are carrying these spices. Why? So Yosef shouldn't be damaged with these bad smelling things. He shouldn't have to smell these bad smelling things as he's being taken down to Egypt. So, another famous question that is asked over here on this Rashi, and that is, who cares? In other words, this doesn't make any sense. You think, what's Yosef's massive? He left his father's house. Was grabbed by his brother. He was almost killed by his brothers. Instead, they threw him into a boar with snakes and scorpions, miraculously got alive, out of there alive. And then he got being sold down to some Arabs. They're going to take him down to Mitzrayim and end up being a slave. Who knows what's going to be? He's never going to live in, and he's never going to see his family again. And could there be any worse massive right now? So what does Hashem do? Oh, smells nice in here. You know, you think Yosef cares how it smells? You think that's on his arm? Oh boy, it smells nice in here. It's not exactly the first thing in his mind. So what's going on? So it's a beautiful vort from a Mordechai Pergamensky, that's all. He answered with the following little mashal. He says, Malad ma davar domer. Imagine lo aleinu, Chaman Litzlan, you have a person who's comatose, right? He's in a coma. He's been in a coma, lying there, not moving for days, weeks, months. His family, day after day, night after night, sitting next to his bed, waving, just the light. He's like a rock, not moving, nothing. So what happens? Months later, being in this matzav, again, family's there as usual. All of a sudden, he lifts up a finger. He hasn't moved for months. He lifts his finger, pinky finger even. What happened? He lifted his finger! Screaming and yelling and he's dancing and calling the doctors and he lifted his finger! So what? He lifted his finger. He's not like, he himself's not up dancing. It's just his finger. It's like, what are you getting so excited? But they're excited. They have a right to. Why are they so excited? There's a glimmer of hope. It's a glimmer. Okay, it's only his finger. Okay, it's a long way to recovery. But there's a glimmer of hope. We see he's moved his finger. Mele says the same thing over here. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, Yosef's in the worst months of a person could probably be, perhaps. But what? Hashem sent him the good smelling thing to say that, okay, something's a little unusual, right? Normally they carry baths and here, so what? Okay, it didn't make things good. No. But a glimmer of hope. So you see, Hashem's with me, Yosefel. I see Hashem's with me. Okay, a long way to go to recovery, you know, I understand. But Hashem is with us. Something's there. And therefore, that gave him the strength to go on, that he can get strength in his immune, his bitachon, because he saw Hashem is with him. Mela, he says, so too with every person, that when they go through tough times, they should try to search for, within the bad, some glimmer of light, something little tiny thing, but just to give a person something to you know, a glimmer of hope that he can grab onto in order to machzik in his emunah. Okay, Pasuk says, Lamites Gimel. So we're skipping ahead now, and Yosef is in Mitzrayim now, and it says, "V'yardo nav ki Hashem ito." So he goes to Potiphar, is working by Potiphar, and his master sees that whatever he does, he's successful. Chol asher v'adonav ki Hashem ito, v'chol asher hu oseh Hashem matzliach biyado. What does it mean, Hashem is matzliach biyado? So I saw a cute shot from, source is not so cute, it's the Midrash Talpios, but the Midrash says like this, that what's the pshat that Hashem matzliach biyado? It means that Yosef had like almost magic hands. That when his master gave him a cup of cold water and he says, Yosef, I want a cup of tea. Can you heat up the water? What did Yosef do? Grabbed the cup, turned to hot water instantly. He gave him a hot cup of cold water. He says, Yosef, I changed my mind. I want iced tea. Iced tea, grabs the hot water, turns into cold water. Just touching it. That's what the Midrash says. Memele, that's what it says. V'chol asher hu oseh Hashem matzliach biyado. With his hand. Grabs it with his hand, makes it hot. Grabs it with his hand, makes it cold. Says the Sefer Bnei Shlomo, this remez in the matzliach biyado. What's matzliach? Matzliach is the same letters, mayim tzonanim, the first letters, Rosh Tevas, mayim tzonanim yishafchu lios chamim. That cold water turns into hot. It's also the same letters, mayim chamim yitafchu lios tzonanim. Hot water turns into cold. Those are, it's hinted to in matzliach. Right. Move on to Pasuk Yud Beis. So we have the incident with the Ashes Potiphar now that she tries to entice Yosef. Pasuk says, "Fatis paseu bivigdo lemor." She grabs his garment and saying, "Shichvi mi, lie with me." Yevayozo bigdo biyado. Yosef leaves his garment in her hand. Vayanase vayatzechutz, and he runs out and runs outside. So the panim yafas medayik. It's a funny word here. Not to conjugate it incorrect. It says, paseu bivigdo, that she grabbed his clothing. And then it says, lemor shichvi'imi. What does it mean, lemor? To say, like, it should have said, vatomer, and she said, shichvi'imi, lie with me. What's it, lemor? So he says, pshat is, that when Yosef saw that she grabbed his coat, okay, she wanted to say shichvi'imi, lemor, to say, she wanted to say, but he was so quick to get out of there, she didn't even say it. She didn't say vatomer, that's what she wanted to say. He just saw that she was about to say, she went, whoop, dropped the leg rag, and he's out of there. That's the lemor shichvi'imi. So a very nice vort to share with you. I'm the Ksav Sofer on this pasuk as well. The Midrash says, in the pasuk in Halal, when we say Halal, Hayam ra'a vayanos, right? The sea saw and split. And yanas means to flee. It ran away. It means that the sea split. The Midrash says, why did the sea split? Yamsuf. Ra'a aronos shel Yosef, yored liyam. Because it saw the casket, the aron of Yosef, go into the sea with Klal Yisrael, and then it split. Amar kodesh baruch hu yanus mipnei yanas. You should flee before the one that fled. Who's the one that fled? Yosef, as it says in this pasuk, "Vayazov bigdo biyada, vayanas vayatzechusa." He fled and he went out. So vayanus mipnei anas, that the sea should flee before the one that fled, Yosef. So the obvious question is, again, what's the connection? Why is the sea splitting for Klal Yisrael have to do with the fact that Yosef ran out over here on Ashes Potiphar? What's the connection? So he says, beautiful. First, little hakdam. He asked the following question. Klal Yisrael came to Yamsuf, right? And they were cornered. And the Mitzrayim were behind. They were, cornered them at Yamsuf. So what happened? Hashem did a miracle on part of the sea. So he asked a question. I don't understand. Why didn't Klal Yisrael, when they're standing at Yamsu, see Egyptians coming, they're cornered, why didn't they wage war? Why just go out and fight? Go fight it. It's not like there were like one or two Jews over here. We're talking about 3 million, 600,000 men of a fighting age, and everybody, there are like a lot of people. I don't have any mitzvah, but still, they could have fought. They know how to fight. They know, okay, but Hashem Yazor, you know, Hashem help them. I mean, Hashem brought the 10 plagues, you know, and he's going to stop and help them out a little bit over here. So go fight. You know, what's that? Oh, no, what are you going to do? Just go fight. Why didn't they fight? Question number one. Question number two, to make it even stronger, is why didn't Hashem make them fight? Meaning, we know the rule is Hashem does not like to do miracles. He doesn't like to do miracles. Whenever he can, you know, do things without miracles, he definitely prefers it. Now tell me, what would be more of a miracle? To have Klal Yisrael fight again, wage a war against the Mitzrayim and win, or to part the Yam Suf to dry land, they walk through, get to the other side, the Egyptians walk in, then the Yam Suf goes back down on them. Like, what's a bigger miracle? Obviously the Yam Suf. So why didn't Hashem say, look, okay, two choices over here. They can fight and I can help them win, you know, I'll help them. And that's at least in the begetter of danger somewhat. Okay, they're fighting. Okay, maybe we're not strong, but at least it, or I can part the Yam Suf, but that's an open, mamish, open miracle. So and we know Hashem doesn't like to do miracles. So why didn't he just say to Klal Yisrael, okay, here's the plan, turn around and fight and don't worry, I'll help you. And then it looks more natural, like Hashem usually works. Why here did he choose to do the more miraculous thing? So he answers. The pasuk says in Kiseitze, Lo tisayev Mitzri ki gera yisaberetzo. Said we're not allowed to abhor the Mitzrim. Why? Because we were a ger in their land. Says Rashi that even though the Mitzrim threw your children into the Nile, still you can't abhor them. Why? Because Lamaisa, you live there. You live there. They gave you a place to live. That's it. That's enough. That Hakar Satov. So we see from here how important Hakar Satov is. Even though they treated us with such cruelty, still Lamaisa, we did get something out of it. We were living there in their land. That therefore we owe them a certain amount of Hakar Satov, and therefore Lotasev Mitzri. Memele, that answers the question. Right? Why didn't Hashem tell them? Why didn't they? And why didn't Hashem tell them to go fight? The reason is because Hashem said, you know, to go fight against these people. These are people that they owe a Hakar HaTov to a certain degree. So to go out and fight against people that you owe a Hakar HaTov, that's like this expression, biting the hand that feeds you. You know, that somebody did a favor for you and you go throw it back in their face. It's not nice. It's not derech eretz. He didn't want that the Jewish people should have that, you know, in them, this feeling that, yeah, you're allowed to do such a thing. And therefore, Hashem, in this case, therefore, he preferred to make an open miracle of Yam Suf so as not to go against the union of Hakar HaTov. So you shouldn't have to fight the Mitzrim and go against the union of Hakar HaTov. He preferred to do an open miracle and speak to Yam Suf. Where do we see another example of this? By Yosef. They ask the Kasha here, the Ramban brings. Yosef, you know, this Eshet Potiphar grabs his coat, right? So what does he do? He leaves it and runs out. So they ask, why did he do such a thing? I mean, she can use that code and incriminate him, which is exactly what she did, right? So wouldn't it make more sense, Ramban says, that he should go and yank the code out of her hand and then leave? This way she doesn't have his code in her hand. No, he leaves it. Why? Says the Ramban, because it's not covetic. Same idea. In other words, this is his master's wife. She started wrestling and yank it out of her hand. That's not nice. She's, after all, a Hakar HaTov. This is your master's wife over here. And as a result, that he decided just to leave it and run out, leaving it, even though he knew that it might incriminate. But because of a Hakar HaTov, he didn't fight. But Mela, now the Midrash is beautiful. Says the Midrash, what? Rav Yam Vayanos, the Yam split. What happened? The Yam asked, wait, why should we split over here? Wouldn't it make more sense for Klal Yisrael to fight the Mitzrim, you know, than to make an open miracle that we should split? So Hashem said, yeah, look at Yosef. What did Yosef do? He could have also fought and yanked the coat out, but he didn't. Why? Hakar HaTov. This is the reason I want you to split, Yam, because of Hakar HaTov. Just like Yosef had Hakar HaTov, and because of that, he didn't fight with his the mistress. So too, over here, you have to have Hakar HaTov and not fight with the Mitzrim, and as a result, the Yam must split. Okay. One last thing for tonight. The end of the Sedra. It's after Yosef interpreted dreams of the Sar Mashkim. It says he asked him to remember him, you know, that when he gets out. But, says the Pasuk Lo Zachas, Sar HaMashkim, as Yosef Ishkecheu. He didn't remember him, he forgot him. So Rashi, what's the double Lashon over here? Rashi talks about it. But as a Midrash, it says the following. Midrash Rabba says, Kol Yom V'Yom Haya Masne Tanaim. This Sar HaMashkim, every day, would make conditions, make plans, whatever. U'malach Ba'Vofchan. And an angel came and thwarted the plans. Kosher Ksharim. He made knots. Umalach Balatiran, and the angel come and undid the knots. Amarlo Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Ata Shokhocho. You're forgetting him, Yosef, right? Ba'ani lo shecheu, I won't forget him. Now, what does this mean? So, one of the Perishim and the Medrash Rabbah, Yedei Moshe, says the following. Very interesting. It's a whole different idea. He says, the Sar HaMashkim wanted to remember Yosef. He owed it to him, you know, he told him, he promised him, I'll remember. Yeah, no problem. So, what happened? Every day, he made sure to do something to make sure he remember Yosef, to tell Paro. What do you do to remember something? People do, they tie a string around their finger. So says the Midrash, every day he would tie, but a malach came and took it off. So he forgot, right? So Lo Zachar, Sar HaMashkim and Yosef, Vishkecheu, he wanted to remember him, but every day he kept forgetting. Why? Because the malach kept making forgetting. He had plans, thwarted the plans to remember. Every day, okay, well, wakes up in the morning, okay, today I gotta remember Yosef. Malach came and again, ruined it, and took off his strings on his finger, whatever it might be, so that he would not be remembered. But Hashem said, I'm gonna remember him. I'm gonna remember him. And Hashem did, 2 years later. So what's the limud from here? We say that a person can't do anything that is not nizar min hashamayim. He can't fight hashkacha, right? Hashem didn't want Yosef to go out now. He wanted to wait 2 years. And so you can tie strings on your fingers. You can do this, you can do that, day after day after day, as the Sar HaMashkim did. But if Hashem doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen, as we see over here. But when the time came, yes, to happen, 2 years later, what does it say? Vayiritzeyu min habor. Voo! They took him out, as it says, Yeshua Hashem ke'er fine. When it is the time, then Hashem does it immediately, no time wasted. And what's the musa over here? You see, you know, when you look at it, just what's happening here at this point, on the end of our sedri, you say, it's not fair. Poor Yosef, after all he's gone through, and now he's in Mitzrayim, and then he gets thrown in because he left, he was a good boy, you know, because of Akara Satov, he left his jacket by the thing. And because of that, he gets thrown into prison, and he's rotting away into prison, right? And finally, he interprets the dream, and he's, okay, please remember me. So, what happens? And we see that Sar HaMashkim wanted to remember him. He did every day, tied his strings, did what he's supposed to do. And what happened? No, Hashem towards the Malachim. That's not fair. It's not fair. What do you want? Come on. The Sar HaMashkim wanted to remember, so let him remember him already. Let it happen. No, it's not fair. But what? You know, lots of things are not fair. Everything's fair. Right? Kol HaTova. What happened? What would have been if Yosef would have gone out the first day? First day, Sar HaMashkim, yeah, sees that string on his finger, runs to Paro, gets him out of prison, right? He would probably, you know, let him out, but then he'd just still get him out of there, and who knows, wandering around somewhere in Egypt, maybe back to Potiphar, maybe not, and then that's the end of that, and that would have been, and whatever happened, that's it. But instead, Hashem said, this is not the time. Let it wait a few days, a few months, a couple of years, until next week's Sedra, when Paro has his dream. Ah, now's the time. And now let him remember. Let him come out now. And he's, now remember. Yosef, he had the dream. He's the dream interpreter. He comes, interprets Paro's dreams, and he becomes the viceroy of Egypt. Was it worth the extra 2 years in prison? Of course. But at the time, you think it's not fair. Of course, everything's fair. It's just you just have to see the whole picture. So to Hashem, we should be zoiche to see the whole picture and realize that everything is the Yad Hashem in our lives. And we could hope that the Yad Hashem will bring the ultimate bracha that we're so waiting for, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhirav Yameinu.